Want to extend welcome this morning to everyone. And want to say thanks for all the men and everybody that actually gets up and has part of this worship. You're truly appreciated. From the people that says prayers, to lead the Lord's table, to pass out, to people that actually clean up the building. I am grateful for that. Today, my lesson that I'm going to present to you is the good, the bad, and the evil. I'd like to always start off with a lesson defining what I'm actually talking about. So what is good, what is bad, and what is evil? First, we'll start off with good. And this is a great lesson that ties in to what we talked about this morning in Bible class. It ties in almost perfectly. Good. The dictionary defines it as to be desired or approved of. That is which morally right and righteous. Someone or something that is effective, useful, healthy, strong, happy, or skilled. If you turn into the beginning of your Bibles in Genesis 1, it defines what good is. And like we said this morning, what do it say at the end of verse 4? And it was good. The end of verse 10, what does it say? It was good. The end of verse 12, it was good. Same thing with 18, and it was good. Same with verse 21 and 25, and it was good. And in verse 31, it says, very good. All good. This also applies in Mark 10:18. Mark 10:18, Jesus is talking to the rich young man, and Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. So by this, we can say God is good. Can I be good? Can Rico be good? Not necessarily. I can do good things. I can do good works. God felt that he was sorry for that he actually made man. Doing good works, doing good deeds. Is it a good deed that I actually feed whoever out there in the world that's starving? Is it a good thing that I actually feed them? Yes, that is a good deed. Is it a good deed that I take it from the church funds to feed the people that's out there starving? No, that is not what it's intended for. Also, we have the story of Uzzah. In the covenant, found in 2 Samuel 6, verses 1 through 7. And we know that the story was the ark was being transported, and the ox had stumbled. And Uzzah took hold of the ark, and he touched it. And God was angered, burned against Uzzah, and he struck him down, struck him dead. Now, Uzzah's punishment does appear to be extreme for what we might consider a good deed. It was a good deed that he went and touched that ark. But it was not commanded of him to do so. So, was it a good deed? Then it kind of goes over to what is considered bad. It's defined as a poor quality or low standard, not such as to be hoped for, desired, something that's unpleasant, something that is unwelcomed. If a skunk comes down the aisle right now, he would be unwelcomed. that would be a bad thing for everybody in this room. We don't want that. So, knowing enough to think that you are right, Uzzah thought he was right by touching the ark for not letting it hit the ground. But not knowing enough to know when you are wrong, he was wrong for actually doing that. That is a great mystery of life, a great debate of life. What is evil? Profoundly immoral and wicked. In 1 John 5 and 19, we know that we are the children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And we know this evil one as the devil, Satan. To understand what is good and what is evil, a lot of people think that, okay, God is evil. I'm sorry. That God is good and Satan is evil. That they're counterparts. And they're actually not counterparts at all. The counterpart of the devil is going to be another angel. Because he made all the angels good, just like he made everything in this life good. It's all about perspective on how you actually look at things in life. But we may think something is evil, but which is actually good. I'm not saying that the devil can become good. His fate is sealed. But this kind of raised the question. Why was Satan even created? If God knew that Satan would rebel, why did he create him? He could have just stopped, ended with man at the fall of the garden. I'm going to break this question down to two parts. The first part is, did God know Satan would rebel against him? We know from Scripture that God is omnipotent, which literally means all-knowing. And we have a lot of verses to back this up, that he's all-knowing. He knows everything that's happened. And it's happening. And this leaves no doubt that God's knowledge is infinite and that he knows everything that has happened in the past and it's happening now and it's happening in the future. He knows everything. It is clear that God's knowledge is not merely greater than our own, but it is infinitely greater. He knows all things in its totality. If God's knowledge is not perfect, then there is a deficiency in his nature. Any deficiency in God's nature means he cannot be God. For God's very essence requires the perfection of all of his attributes. Therefore, the answer to this question is yes, he knew Satan would fall. Or he knew that Satan would rebel against him. The next question, why did God create Satan knowing ahead of time he was going to rebel? This was a little bit trickier because we're asking that question, why? Yeah, no, that's almost one of my favorite words now is why. But the Bible does not usually provide a comprehensive answer to this, despite that we should be able to come to a limited understanding. We have already seen that God is omnipotent. So if God knew that Satan would rebel and fall from heaven, yet he created him anyway, this must mean that the fall of Satan was in God's plan and was part of his plan from the beginning. No other answer makes sense given that we have so far. Understanding that knowing Satan would rebel is not the same thing as saying, it's not the same thing making Satan rebel. God did not make Satan rebel. Like I said, he was good. Had a free will and made his own choices. God did not create Lucifer as the devil. He created him good. Ultimately, we cannot know for sure why God created Satan, knowing that he will rebel. It is tempting to say, to assume that things would be better if Satan had never been created, or to declare that God should have done differently. But such assumptions and declarations are unwise. For in fact, to claim we know better than God how to run the universe is to fall into the devil's own sin of promoting himself above the Most High. And this was a downfall of Satan. One second here. In Isaiah 14, starting in verse 13. Isaiah 14, starting in verse 13. You say in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself the Most High. And that was the downfall of Satan, thinking that he was going to be above God. This is one person that in this life we can actually hate. We can hate Satan. And there's not a lot of things that we can actually totally hate, because just like other religions out there, we don't hate them. We just hate the sin that they do and the false teaching that they are having out there, presenting out there. So, how do we turn evil or bad into a good in our life? I'm not saying that we need to turn Satan to good. I'm not saying that. We can't do that. But how do we turn the bad things in our life to good? Now, how do we change our focus on seeing the good? How to turn bad into good? Turn difficulties of this life and learn to find good in that. It is easy to give up on God or faith when we are questioning his goodness or why bad things are happening to us. You know, we say, why does God give babies cancer? You know, I pray to God for this promotion at work, but I get in, try to get the promotion, and I get fired. You know, I pray to God to keep my grandmother alive, and she's 100 years old. I just want her to live 10 more years, 10 more years, God. That's what I pray for. And she dies the next day. What does that mean? And this is not, well, pretty much those prayers there is you're bargaining with God, which I advise you to don't do. Because a lot of people say, you know, keep my grandmother alive for 10 more years, and I will go to church every day. That's bargaining, and we should not be doing that. But in Romans 8:28, says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. This verse does not say that if I become a Christian, I'm going to have a good life. we're all going to go through trials. We're all going to go through tribulations. And if you jump down to 31 of Romans 8, what then should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? But God, everyone around me is prospering. You know, everybody around me is married. Everybody around me has kids. Everybody around me has money. I don't have any of these things. Why? Am I here just to suffer? So when suffering ends up, how does it benefit others? And we know the story of Joseph and his brothers. And it's at the very end of Genesis. We know Joseph was sold to slavery by his brothers. Being sold, what kind of act is that? That's an evil act. Nobody wants to be sold into slavery. But what happened? He was sold, went to Egypt. He had a gift that he can interpret dreams. He interpreted the Pharaoh's dream. And that dream was 7 years, you will prosper. Everything would, all the crops will grow. And then after that, it will be 7 years of famine, where everything is going to die. He had a plan. Joseph had a plan. And his plan was, in those 7 years, was to get all the crops that he could, save them up for the next 7 years after that. And in that, he prospered. He got married. He was in charge of Egypt, second in charge of Egypt. And then what happened? He was reunited with his family again. And what did he say in Genesis 50? Genesis 50, verse 20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he confronted them and spoke kindly to them. So this is an instant where he was enslaved. Bad deal. He turned it to something good. He fed a lot of people. I have another story about a good brother that I know. He was in the military. He was a captain in the military. And he was over this basic training company. So under that, you have about four platoons, which is 30 people of each, so about 120 people. Also, he had the drill sergeant, the cadre. So you could say he was in charge of about 150 people. He wasn't, of course, the top dog. The top dog, of course, is going to be the president of the military. But he high rank. He was over them. He let the drill sergeants do what they needed to do to train the soldiers to come up and to be great soldiers. Then he get a call from his higher up. He's like, hey, can you get everybody together and come down and meet me at this field? He's like, sure, no problem. Gotcha. So he gathered everybody up, got them all together, all the privates there, sitting parade rest. And then the cops come. All right, everybody, I need all the privates on this side and all cadre on this side. And he was like, what's going on? What's happening? All right, privates, y'all are safe now. End up what happening, the drill sergeants were abusing the privates in every way imaginable. The captain knew nothing about it. But what happens, the person in charge always get in trouble. So he was thrown in jail. He was sent down to Fort Leavenworth for 10 years. That was his sentence. He knew nothing about it. But while he was in jail or prison, he was teaching the gospel. He was baptizing people down there in Fort Leavenworth. Then this day happened. Y'all may all know it by September 11th. You know, one plane came in, hit a building. One of the towers went down. Then another plane came, hit the other building. Tower came down. Then there was another plane that came and went off the left field and crashed somewhere out there. Horrific. Bad times. And there was another plane that came in and hit the Pentagon. Now, we know a lot of people lost their life that day on September 11th. But what good actually came out of that? That captain got a phone call while he was in prison saying, "Hey, do you know what's going on?" And he said, "I heard that plane was crashing into buildings." He's like, "Yeah. Do you know what other plane landed?" He was like, "I have no clue. I'm in jail." It was like, "Well, it was the Pentagon." Well, we know the Pentagon is pretty much the brains of America, and in that building was all the records of military. So his higher up said, "Go ahead and pack your bags. You're getting out of jail tomorrow because all your records was burnt up in 9/11. It was a good deal." So the moral of the story is, yes, 9/11 was a bad, tragic accident, not accident, but event. But good could actually come out of that, which people were baptized and some people followed the gospel. And this is jumping back on track here in Colossians 1:24. Colossians 1:24. "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body and this church." A lot of people, well, society nowadays, you know, we come from this society of me, myself, and I. And we all come from the planet me, 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 me. You know, we think that we're all doing right, but sometimes is we're doing things wrong. And it's kind of like Job. Job said, "You know, I am righteous. What am I doing wrong? How can I turn this around? How can you turn your bad things in life around for good?" Now, how can bad things of this life make me grow? And in 2 Corinthians 12:7-10 says, "For to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surprising greatness of revelation, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for your power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore," and when it says therefore, you got to wonder why it's therefore, "I will boast all the more gladness of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with the weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And this is Paul talking. Now, how can Paul be strong with this thorn? We don't know what this thorn was. Was it something that was actually given to him? Who knows? A lot of people think that he suffered from like the short man syndrome, or he grew a tail, or he grew another limb. But it was something that he wanted gone from him. He pleaded with God. God said, you have all you need. Yeah. Paul took it. Paul accepted it. And in 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7, in this you rejoice through now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes through it is tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor that revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, Wednesday we talked about, you know, how whether people grew up in a church or was added to the church later. And for me, and it's just me, I feel like I cherish my faith a little bit more of not growing up in a church. I'm not saying that your faith or my faith is better than your faith. I'm not saying that at all. It's just, I just know me. For me, it was a bit more humbling to know, you know, sometimes some certain people just need to hit rock bottom to really start excelling forward. You know, I was tested through the fire. I went through a lot of stuff. I was also just looking at just different religions that was out there and its understanding. And it's like, why are they doing this? I don't understand. But that also made me a better teacher to understand what other people may actually go through. And some of you may actually think the same exact way. But some of you that actually grew up in the church, I'm not going to say that you take advantage of it, that growing up in a church or anything. It's more of certain things you just kind of won't understand, just like I won't understand if actually growing up in a church and what that actually presents. You know, we bring our kids to services, but that doesn't mean that your kid is actually going to follow along with that. But it is the test by fire that we have to go through. So this is why certain bad things happen to certain people. It is a test. It is a test. And with that test, we need to find good, whatever it may be. You know, why is this happening to me? Well, why not? Why is not happening to you? Let it happen. Find the good. All situations have an actual good outcome. And in Matthew 5, verse 11, Matthew 5, verse 11 and 12, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on your account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecute the prophets who are before you. There is a lot of instances in the Bible where people was persecuted and they found good in it. And you can look into it and find good in it. You know, people go through bad things. Everybody in here went through bad things. But you have to find the good into it. And in Romans 8 and 18. For I consider that the suffering of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will reveal to us, and this will be in heaven. And these are thoughts. And we all know this verse, which is Isaiah 55 and in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declared the Lord. For the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Told you, I am fascinated, of course, with numbers, and I'm fascinated with the brain as well, too, and thoughts, and why do people think the way they think? You know, so don't let the cares of this world get you down. There's always something good, whatever it may be. It can be work-related. It can be personal. It can be, you know, you can be stuck on the highway and your car breaks down in the middle of it and you say, why me, God? You know, there's always a silver lining in this. And this is going to be the lesson I present to you today. So don't always think of bad being bad all the time. So that skunk coming down, that skunk was good. It was created good. But we just didn't want to hear it at this time. But if you have any concerns or you need more prayers from the congregation, we can help you with that. Just let us know. Just come to the front, and as we stand and sing the song that was selected.